So you would know that at this time of the year, many folk basically will make New Year resolutions. They will set goals and they will set standards for themselves. And some will take stock of their lives and make promises and vows so that the new year would be a year where they can fulfill those vows or promises or goals and whatever they've told themselves. Now, how many Christians and how many non-Christians really, really keep those vows or resolutions? Now, I'm sure you know the answer to the question. Very, very few. Very few. You will also discover that within the church, people call for a week of solemn assembly. As soon as the new year comes in, you'll find churches going on a solemn assembly. Okay? I don't know why they call it solemn. I know what the assembly is. Ecclesia is the church. And they call for a 21-day fast or a 40-day fast or whatever days they add into it. And where they refrain from eating food and they prepare for the new year. That is the tradition and practice of churches, but no one questions where this practice comes from. And nor do they ask why they do it or what they do is right or wrong. Now, I'm sure many of you like me, can say that you consistently read your Bible. I trust you do. And that you have your personal quiet time with the Lord. I started with Genesis sometimes in October last year. And I'm into Numbers now. So I'm Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. That's the fourth book of the Bible. Still written under Moses. So I'm into Numbers. And as you read Numbers, it is a book that can very easily bore you. It's a very, very boring book to read. How many of you read Numbers? Okay? You'll understand why I'm saying that. But then again, I ask myself the question, why did the Lord see it important to record statistics and call for a census to be taken with Israel? Why does the Bible talk about rituals, rules, civil, ceremonial, and sacrificial laws? Now, in order to understand this, we must think through the life of God's people in Egypt. You must understand that they worshipped or they were exposed to many, many gods in the 400 years that they were in Egypt. And they were exposed to Egyptian customs, rituals, and different types of worship. And so the gods of Egypt demanded human sacrifices, fertility sacrifices, temple prostitution, etc., etc., etc. And God is a holy God, and his standards demanded that the people keep themselves holy. And he wanted them to be distinct from other nations of the world who created and manipulated their gods for their own whims and fancies. And God is saying, I am God, and I want you to be like me. I want you to be holy. Okay? And this is where we find Israel, who have just been rescued out of Egypt. They are in the wilderness. And the problem is, they were just a bunch of 70 people when they left Canaan, came to Egypt, and they grew and outgrew themselves to the point where Moses had to lead over 2 million people. You know how many people that is? 2 million people. That's a lot of people. And they were basically moving. They were moving from Egypt to the promised land. God promised them an inheritance of a land flowing with milk and honey, and they were moving in that direction. But they had no direction. They basically did not know where they were going, because Moses was the one that was speaking to God and guiding them. Now, the question arises here is this. You know, the bigger one grows, the more difficult it is to manage one's life, one's finances, one's commitments. So the Lord knew Moses needed help. And so he chose to help Moses and his leaders to set tasks, goals, and responsibilities for each tribe, clan, family, and individual. And so they were no longer a family of 70 now. They were over 2 million and still counting. Now, as a family, let me just say this. Tricia shared a testimony. Let me bring a brief testimony of my own. As a family, at the end of 2014, I decided that the first thing to do is to recover from the death of my wife and for the children to recover from the death of their mom. Secondly, it was time to think through life and make some adjustments. And we found it important as a family to follow through on the plans that we had come into 2014, going into 2015. And the plans were that Amy will get married. And so rather than delay the wedding, a meeting was arranged and both families took a decision to get behind it. In all this time of setting plans and goals, it was always within the context of who we are as Christians. So, even though the wedding was the big agenda on our plan, we did not shirk from our spiritual responsibilities. And it's so easy for this to go on the back burner, isn't so? And let me tell you something. We basically don't get involved or don't do spiritual things because we belong to the priestly or pastoral line or family. No, we do it because we belong to Jesus. We do it because he is our high priest and we take the Bible seriously when it records that in Christ every single Christian is a priest, and as a priest we are called upon to do the work of the ministry. Now listen to how God addressed Israel in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to, but it will appear on the screen. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of what? Priests. And a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So God said to Moses, tell the people that you are going to be set apart, you're going to be chosen, you are going to be my special people, and you are going to be a kingdom of priests. Okay, that's the beginning of the Bible. Now turn with me to the end of the Bible. And that is in Revelation. See? And listen how God addresses the new Israel. The old Israel is as he addressed them in Exodus. Listen how he addresses the new Israel of God. And the new Israel of God is the church. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and what? Priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So come to Revelations at the end of the Bible, God is still saying, you are my priests. And then 26, we see the title of priests there. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection, that is our salvation. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God. Listen to this. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, when the Bible speaks about time period in Revelation, he doesn't limit it to 1,000 years, because God speaks to Peter. He says, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So what he's saying is, basically, you will reign as priests forever and ever. That's what he's saying. Now, that's what John is saying, and that's what God is saying. So I want to bring you to this concept of priesthood, because oftentimes we misunderstand what it means to, who is the priest and what it means to be a priest. And many times I've been called a priest, and I said to them, in fact, we all are priests. If you call me a priest, then I'm going to call you a priest. And so there are five simple blessings that every one of us carries in Christ. And what I want to do is I want to pronounce a blessing on you for 2016. Can I do that? Will you give me permission to do that? As your pastor, I want to pronounce a blessing on you for 2016. Okay? Don't tell me afterwards that I've gone charismatic. All right? Listen to me very, very carefully. What I want to do here. All right? So I want to talk to you about how you can be a blessing to others in 2016. And this blessing is meant to flow out to others. When God blesses us, he expects that the blessing flows outwardly and not inwardly. And this is what a blessing is supposed to do. And here it is, dear priests of CCN. So you are a priest. If you're female, you might want to call yourself priestess. All right? So I'm addressing you as priests. A call from Yahweh to you. And the first thing I want to draw your attention to is Numbers chapter 6 and verses 22 through to 27. There's the pronunciation of the blessing, the priestly blessing. Okay? The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, there it is, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. What is God saying? What is God blessing his people with? And the first thing he's blessing them with is protection. Keep you. God protect you. God will keep you. Let me put it in the context of Numbers 6. You see, the people of God, as I said to you, were numbering over 2 million, and they exited Egypt. They are now in the desert of Sinai. They prayed that God would send them a savior and rescuer to free them from an oppressive regime of Pharaoh, who knew nothing or very little about Joseph and his family. And God sends them a savior, and he leads them out. How does one manage 2 million people and who have no direction? And who basically don't know where to go? Well, Moses had only one reliable source, and that is Yahweh. And Yahweh led them out of slavery through Moses. Now Moses is called upon to depend on that source, to outsource and to enlist the help of the people to carry them into the promised land. Now notice, God is the source. You are the outsource. So if God wants to do his will, he has to do it through the kingdom of his priests. And you are the priests. Just follow me as we deal with this. And so he wants to take them into the promised land. So Numbers 1 to 5 tell us how God asked Moses to enlist the tribes and to break them up into clans and families and individuals. And if you have a look at Numbers chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 there, it says, take a census of the whole Israelites community by their clans and families, listing every man by name, one by one. You and Aaron are to count according to their divisions all the men in Israel who are 20 years old or more and able to serve in the army. One man from each tribe, each of them, the head of his family, he's to help you. Can you see that? So it is clear that God is calling his people to service. He's the source. You are the outsource. And he's calling you to service. And so we see there in Numbers 1 to 5 how that service is broken down in divisions and clans and families. And God gives them instructions on how to live a pure life, holy life, and sanctified life. Now, for the more dedicated parents, and for the more dedicated amongst them, he addresses them in number 6. And perhaps you'd like to look at number 6, especially verses 5 and 6. And it's called the Nazarite vow. You know, as I said to you, people make resolutions, people make promises, people make covenants, people make all kinds of things on New Year's Eve to go into the new year. Here's a vow. This is a Nazarite vow. During the entire period of the Nazarite vow, no razor may be used on their heads. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period of the dedication to the Lord, the Nazarite must not go near a dead body. All right? So if they go near a dead body, there's a whole lot of rituals and things to follow there. And they've got to cleanse themselves from that. So there's a whole lot of rituals that God gives in terms of fulfilling the Nazarite vow. And you, do you know who fulfilled, who it was, or who was dedicated fully to the Nazarite vow? Well, there are three people in the Bible that were given totally to the Lord. Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist. Okay? They were dedicated. We know Samuel, Anna made a vow that if she gets the baby, she will dedicate this baby to the Lord, and that's what she did. We see John the Baptist also was dedicated for a purpose. Now, when we look at Numbers 1:5, 1 to 2, I want us to see why the blessing of protection is pronounced. What is it that the people are protected or shielded from? Let's read verses 1 and 2 of Numbers 5. The Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who has a defiling skin disease or a discharge of any kind or is ceremonially unclean because of a dead body. And then have a look at 5 and 6 of the same chapter. It says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, any man or woman who wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord is guilty. Now, let me just say this. There were no doctors or pharmacists in those early days that could help people with skin diseases or discharges or anything that would defile the skin and defile the body. And not only was it practical to observe the rituals, it was a matter of life or death, or worse, a curse. Have a look at Numbers 5:22. This is now a woman who is unfaithful, and she and the husband suspects her of being unfaithful, and he brings her to the priests. And the priest had to do certain rituals. And listen to this. May this water that brings a curse enter your body so that your abdomen swells or your womb miscarries, then the woman is to say, amen, so be it. In other words, she's coming for the priest. The priest is saying, this is a curse that I'm going to pronounce on you. In the water, the bitter water that I'm going to give you to drink, if you have done nothing wrong, it won't affect you. But if you've done something wrong, this is what's going to happen. Your abdomen will swell and your womb will miscarry. You will not bear children. It was a serious curse. And it was a serious disgrace in the early days. And no woman would want to do anything that was wrong. So God was protecting his people from moral disintegration. Now friends, when we think of protection today, what is the common thing that people pray for? I'll tell you what we pray for. We pray for safe traveling. Nothing wrong with that. We pray that God will protect us from evil and dangerous criminals. Nothing wrong with that. People pray for protection from all harm and danger, and there's nothing wrong with that. What is missing from the list of protection that God sees as important to pray for and we sometimes overlook? What is it? Well, I believe it's moral laxity. We don't pray that God will protect people from falling into immoral situations and dishonoring the name of God. And so, there we have it, protection. The second pronunciation in terms of a priestly blessing. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Verse 25a, the Lord make his face shine upon you. Now, what does that mean? It simply means, in the New Living Translation, may the Lord smile upon you. Okay? Now, what kind of a blessing is this? May the Lord smile upon you. How do we know God is smiling at us? How do we know that God is angry at us? Or simply just indifferent to us? How do we know that? Well, God is never indifferent. God is either angry or God is either smiling or favorable. You know, John Piper made a statement and he says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And what brings any human being total satisfaction is to enjoy his glory. Now, the only way we can do that is to move away from self-centeredness. And some of you chose this Christmas, beloved, I want to say this, to help a family with ampers. We made an announcement before Christmas for those of you that can contribute towards ampers. And we've got people that came in and contributed, and families were helped. Others chose to offer your time to assist someone who needed transport with shopping. Others assisted with visiting the sick at home and in hospital. And still others invited the poor and lonely to their home for Christmas lunch. How many of us do that? How many of us think of those who are lonely and don't have anybody and invite them over for Christmas lunch with our family so that they can join us? Some of you have done that. Praise God for that. And God sees this, and you can be sure it places a smile on his face. And if you want a grin on God's face, you know what it is to put a smile on God's face. You should do something that pleases God. But if you want a grin on God's face, what must you do? I thought about this. I thought, you know when people smile, they'll give you a smile, and you know they're smiling. But when people grin, it is a kind of a louder smile, isn't it? I'm not sure how to express it, but it's a louder kind of a smile. And how does one put a grin on God's face? I'll tell you how. I thought about this. Is when you lead a soul to Christ. When you lead a soul to Christ. The Bible says all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to know Christ. You know, friends, CCN this in 2015 have seen at least two people commit their lives to Jesus. Apart from Nolan that is sitting here, who's given his life 2 years ago, there's two people that have given their lives to Jesus, and that is Karen and Michelle. Isn't that wonderful? You should be shouting hallelujah. I know you're not charismatic, but but when something like that happens, all the angels in heaven stand up and rejoice, and that brings a grin, that brings rejoicing and celebration in God's kingdom. Preservation is the last is another blessing. Notice the Lord be gracious to you. Verse 25b. May the Lord be gracious to you. Now, what is grace? Well, grace is God's unmerited favor. It is his undeserved mercy and his compassion towards his people. Do you know what I pray for in terms of God blessing people? Mercy for those who are lost in religious ritual and sin, and compassion from God for those who are fighting a dreaded disease. Brothers and sisters, today you may have escaped. This year you may have escaped a dreaded disease in your body. Next year, you may never know that you may be a victim of a dreaded disease. And your life is going to waste away. Your body is going to waste away. If you are in Christ, your life is secure. But these things are going to happen. And I pray for that. And I pray that you are praying for that. I believe we can spend the entire night talking about God's grace. We can talk about his unmerited favor. We can talk about why we do not deserve his mercy. But I want to tell you, I am grateful to those who made a decision to follow Jesus in 2015. And then there's another blessing. The Lord turn his face toward you in verse 26. May the Lord turn his face towards you. May the Lord show you his favor. The NIV says, Living Translation says, may the Lord show you his favor, or may the Lord turn his face toward you. Now, it's the same as, you know, when a person turns his face away from you, he's angry at you. When your wife is angry with you, sometimes she turns away from you. When she is happy with you, she looks you in the eye and she's smiling at you. God is a God who looks at you and he smiles when his favor is upon you. But when he's angry at you, he turns his face away from you. But we are praying that God will show his favor and his face will be turned towards you. Now, I hear a lot about this particular blessing from charismatic and Christians and Pentecostal Christians. And here is a blessing that is more often on Christian lips, than any other priestly blessing. Don't you just love people saying, may God bless you and cause his favor to fall upon you all the days of your life? I like that. When people say that to me, I feel good. I think anyone will feel good. But have they ever wondered where they get the blessings from? Some of them quote Jeremiah 29:11, and I heard it on the radio even this morning. And they say, what is Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But do they know the context of Jeremiah 29:11? And so often it is a blessing that is prayed upon without looking at the context. If you look at the context of Jeremiah 29, in fact the whole of Jeremiah, you will discover that God's favor, if you look at God's favor, God's favor was on Jeremiah. But you know how he suffered? People despised him. They threw him into a pit. They left him to die in the pit. They were cruel to him because he was bringing God's word to them, and he says, if you don't repent, God's judgment is going to fall upon you. And the people turned around, and instead of receiving this instruction and embracing it, they rejected it, and they basically rejected the prophet and God with the prophet. But Jeremiah himself was far from prosperous. He suffered more than any other prophet in the Bible. And so, if you want to have a good grasp of spiritual prosperity, then Peter summarizes it for us. Forget about the fireworks outside. And 1 Peter 1, 3 and verse 8 tells us this. Listen to this, and if we can pick it up on the screen. 1 Peter 1. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, friends, this is what true blessing is. That is God's approval on your life and my life. And lastly, as we close, is peace. It says, may God give you his peace. Oftentimes when I meet with families who are going through tough times, either through difficulties within the home, either a spouse, either a husband or a wife, whether it's children who are on drugs, the constant bickering and fighting in the home, you will hear the mom or the wife say this: all you want is peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And in the midst of the trouble and turmoil, there is peace. Think of Jesus when he was crucified. Think of the apostles when they were persecuted. Think of the early Christians when they were thrown to lions. Think of the missionaries when they were killed serving the Lord Jesus. Now, friends, may the Lord help us as priests in 2016 to be a blessing to others by thinking through these pronouncements. So here's my pronouncement. Here's my blessing. And I want to bless you with it so that you can bless others with it. You are priests. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace in 2016, and not only in 2016, but throughout your days on earth as you serve Jesus. And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Now, friends, may God bless you as we come and be part of this great pronunciation of blessing upon blessing. Let us pray. And as we bow our heads, as we prepare ourselves now for the table and for communion, I want us to think through who we are in Christ and what we are called to do. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we enter 2016, there will be 12 months, 56 weeks and 365 and a quarter days to walk circumspectly and uprightly before you. Grant us, our Heavenly Father, the joy of blessing others. May we be a blessing in more ways than one. Lord, you know each one of us by name and you have given us gifts. Please, Lord, help us to use them and not to excuse them. I pray for mothers and fathers present here tonight. I pray that you will help them and guide them as they raise spiritual awareness in their children through their own practical involvement within the home and the church and the community. Lord, I pray for couples that you will help them to strengthen one another's marriage. Lord, I pray for young adults and children to honor their parents. Father, I pray for us as pastors to preach with more conviction and to call people to repentance and holiness. Will you help us to do that for Jesus' sake? Amen.